Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourque.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point. Still alive and kicking here in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Well, we told you we'd be on. We still are. Well, not going to let this thing stop us. Not going to let COVID-19 win the day. So we're keeping going as best we can. And the other half of the we is on the line with us now. She is, of course, the one and only mermaid, live to tape also from Centerville, Virginia. She is the one and only mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yes. Happy Sunday. Happy 10th day of my quarantine.
Well, it's your Fairfax County government imposed quarantine.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, 10 days. 10 days. And the rumor is, I believe tomorrow, our governor is going to be making an announcement on the future of school openings or closures.
Admittedly not looking very good. We won't dwell on that too much, but the restrictions may or may not get a bit more severe as we go on, but we're handling it, trying our best not to go stir crazy, and that's part of why we're doing this thing. And this thing that we're doing is we sent out some feelers to many of our loyal listeners to do kind of an open line session for this episode, since there's really no games to recap, no actual hockey to talk about that has happened recently. So, yeah,
it's been hard.
what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's just it. It's I'm here. And I think honestly, it could be so much worse, you know, and we're all, yes, quarantine in our house. I am following the directions. I am keeping inside. I'm only going out if I need to take a walk, or go to the store. But it could be a lot worse. You know?
Right. But you know what helps? You know what helps? And I know right now it feels like a long ways away. But what helps is looking forward to what will be, you know, when this is all over.
True.
And, you know, we were just talking about that. A little while ago, and that's getting our hands on some of that locker beer.
Yes, which I'm assuming there's probably a lot of Caps fans that have stockpiled their bars and whatnot with it, but I will go to Herndon, Gil, to get you some. I promise, and I'm always getting my promises. And I know our ABC store is still open, so hopefully those places out there will still be open. Fingers crossed.
Fingers very crossed.
And then there's also a vodka. I was like, hey, now, how come they don't have that at my local ABC?
That's right, the Washington Capitals New Amsterdam vodka.
Yeah, and I can't
find
it.
I still have a bottle of that stuff I haven't opened for a while.
That you have that vodka?
Not that vodka, but New Amsterdam.
Oh, okay. I was like, excuse me. So we have, there are certain definitely things to look forward to. I don't know about anybody else. I know you're still working. I'm not. So my happy hour officially starts at 5 o'clock every day religiously. And that's the truth. And I don't think I'm alone on that, but good God. Being stuck inside, you really kind of learn Oh, a lot about yourself, a lot about what annoys you, a lot about what you're grateful for, things that you just, you have to go with it. And that's how we're treating it here in our household. And my family will not be, or my kids, I should say, will probably not be super happy with me tomorrow, but I've got a whole academic schedule set up for them. They have their 1 week off of, screens and kind of fucking around and whatever. And that's all going to change tomorrow.
Well,
So.
just like haters gonna hate, teachers gonna teach.
Yeah, right. Right. So, but you have to. You have, there's so many people who are like, oh, I don't want to be on a schedule. I just like to be flexible. And it's like, yeah, we all like to be flexible, like physically. And then, of course, like with our schedules. So it's like, come on, you have to, the little bit of structure is a good thing. So, we'll be having breakfast and doing some academics and they're working out. Yeah. And we'll see, like next time we kind of check in to see if I'm, voted best mom or most hated in Centerville in a week or two. I'll keep you posted. Yes. We'll see. But whatever. All good. We're all still ticking.
Yeah, we're definitely there. Okay, so we're like I said, we're wh what we planned on doing is a nice call-in segment, and we've invited as many people as we can. This wonderful service that we're on, Uber Conference, going to give them a quick little free plug. It so happens that this line that I am paying for, can hold 100 people at the same time. We don't expect that many people, but we invited our loyal listeners to call in. Looks like we got a few coming in now.
I don't even know a
Okay.
100 people.
Oh, we've actually got that many. We're like up to 140, I think we are on our Facebook page.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Well said. But I don't know. But I mean, like personally, like do I know people's social media? Oh yeah. You
Yeah.
know, that's all good. But to say like face to face as I pick them out of a crowd, probably not.
Right. So, yeah, looks like we've got a couple callers in on the line now.
Awesome.
Hey folks, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm calling from ESPN The Body magazine. We are getting together the Tom Wilson issue, and we understand that there is a big Tom Wilson fan on the line, and we'd like to make this opportunity to invite her to the photo shoot.
Well, I can actually confirm that I'm going to have to be quarantined with Mr. Tom Wilson and do the photo shoot. So that's a go, probably sometime this week.
Okay, very good. Very good.
And with
Mr.
that,
Wilson personally asked you to personally ask for your presence at the shoot so he doesn't get too nervous.
of course. Well, I'm can be very calming and soothing, and whatever Tom needs, I will deliver.
Okay, very good. He will be very happy to hear that, I am sure.
Yes, he will. Oh,
Okay,
Stuart, you're the
so the three of us don't need any introductions, but for anyone who happens to be a new listener, that you're hearing besides Anna's voice are the dulcet tones of one Stuart Small, who has been a guest a few times, and noted needler of Anna's affection for Mr. Tom Wilson.
It, how about we'll make it professional. My respect for his skill as an athlete. And
I needle
he's
because I
tall.
care.
There you go. There you
Stuart,
go.
before I forget about it, that was absolutely brilliant. I had to literally hold my hand over my mouth to keep from laughing out loud and interrupting you.
It's
That
awesome because I fell
was
for it the first
absolutely
time.
hilarious.
All right.
You have,
I will tell you,
whenever you
two
have me on
seconds.
The show, I want to liven things up a little bit.
For about 2 seconds, I actually believed, oh my goodness, could this be actually somebody from ESPN? And then, no, I listened to you go on and like, oh, okay, I know what who this is and what he's pulling.
Oh, yeah. Well, because the first time you pulled it, for those of you who don't know, I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker, because he was like, oh, did you hear, you know, Tom Wilson's going to be on the, whatever the body image or whatever it was of Sports Illustrated, and I know the photographers, if you want, and I was like, holy shit, are you kidding? Oh my God, of course, thank you so much for, you know, asking. He's like, seriously, it's not happening. I'm just playing. It's like, oh, so close. So now we have a true appreciation of each other's humor. And Stuart sends me Tommy pictures weekly, which never get old. And you know what, I can say that I'm a little bit jealous of Taylor right now, but that's okay. And the puppy. How cute is his puppy?
Oh Lord, Tom Wilson and a puppy. That's Anna's wet dream there.
It is. I mean, like, seriously, like, and if he had a Jeep, I'd be like, oh my God, like, this is it.
He does have a Jeep, actually.
He does not.
You're looking through the phone book for divorce lawyers, maybe? I don't know. Is that even appropriate to say?
Right. Well, we used to have a joke in our household, because I've been with Ian for 20 years, and somebody had asked us at one point, like, oh, well, don't you have what they call it, like a free pass, like jokingly, like, who would be your free pass to be like, all right, I'm going to turn to my husband and say, okay, if so-and-so comes to the door, have fun for the night. I was like, oh my God. Okay. Like, who would I pick? And he's like, I would pick nobody. I'm like, bullshit. So we finally got down to the nitty gritty, and he's like, okay, if Jessica Alba came to the door. And I was like, okay, I can't be mad because she's hot. Like, I mean, and she's, yeah. And then for me at the time, because this is like so long ago, was Tom Brady.
Oh,
and like his first Pat season, like, come on. So this is like, I'm totally dating myself, but I was like, okay. And so we used to joke about, like, oh, well, if Tom Brady comes to the door, it's this and that. Then when we moved here, and Mr. Wilson eventually signed his contract, I was like, I'm moving Tom. Like, I'm moving from Brady to Wilson, and that's my free pass. And since then, he hasn't changed from Jessica.
Okay, so I have a question for you, but before I get to that, let's think we need to pause here for a second. I see somebody else on the line.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Is it Tom Wilson?
I doubt that.
It'd be mad if it was. I would laugh.
Oh my God.
I would,
my ovaries would explode.
Oh God. Oh, too much info. Wow.
Way too much.
Way too much. Ooh.
Come on.
Okay. So, caller, can you hear us?
Oh, believe me, I can hear everything you guys are saying.
Oh goodness. I'm going to take a wild guess here. Is that Lisa I'm hearing?
It is, and I apologize because I do not have the coronavirus, but my allergies are kicking so bad. So if I have a little side cough, you know, don't worry about it.
Lisa, okay. You're fine. You're fine. You know how we feel about you. And like I posted on our Facebook page, if you want to kind of hang in the back and just listen and, you know, kind of laugh at us, you know, try to make something of this, you are more than
us.
Entirely
not
welcome.
At us.
Just,
you know, I wanted
mouth.
To say though, but really, would he be on the cover of ESPN Body, or would it have been Playgirl?
ESPN, the body, ESPN, the magazine, the body issue.
Oh, okay. I will say, no, I won't get into that story.
I'm not sure if we're ready for what you would do.
Yeah.
Anna.
It's funny.
Yeah, I'd be like,
hey
now,
we got, looks like we got somebody else. Who's this?
Oh,
Who's this?
Oh my goodness. It's our greatest import since Inverness whiskey.
Oh hey.
I'm here to go straight for butchering my accent.
Oh goodness.
Right?
You know that was done out of love.
Oh, I know it. I got a good laugh at work from it when I was at work.
It was awful. It was awful. I was like, we have to leave it to Grant and to Fee and that's it. But it was a good effort on Gil, but nope.
Okay, Grant, oh my God. Go ahead.
I was wondering what time it is in Scotland right now.
It currently is 10:28 PM.
Okay.
So with the clocks going, did they go back or forward in your country a couple of weeks ago?
Forward.
So with them going forward, instead of it being a 5-hour time difference, it was only a 4-hour time difference, which I was looking forward to, because all the hockey games would be starting at 11 o'clock my time instead of midnight. So I was getting a jump on it by an extra hour. But you know what? I never even got to see one of those games.
And that's why we're doing the show, because we just want to check in on absolutely everybody. And I'm dead serious about this. I know it can be sarcastic as hell and whatnot, but I truly am like, want to check in on people's mental health and be sure that people know, hey, Colin, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to have, you know, make fun of me. I'm totally okay with it, Stuart. And it's awesome. And it's exactly what it should be. And that's why we were like, you know what? Gil originally was like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, we don't really have anything to talk about. But it was like, you know, let's just leave it open. And we have no script. And, well, we don't usually anyways. But, no, you know, whomever calls in. And we're just going to check in to see that everybody's okay. And you're all the way in Scotland. And we've been following your beer story with what you've been drinking for the last couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a few people message me today saying, since you're back, are you going to be doing a day 7? And I was like, oh, fuck, well, I suppose I better. So, I put one up today just for the shits and giggles. So.
You have to, because there's a bunch of us out here who are like, what is Grant's journey today? We all need to know.
We'll get into that for sure, because I got some questions of my own. But
interesting.
Yeah. Well,
are you gonna ask in a Scottish accent, Gil?
No.
Okay.
Good Lord.
You missed me.
But yeah.
All right, children, take it easy.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get too far, I kind of feel like I was raised by a drill sergeant and a Korean mother, so I feel like I'm forgetting my manners here. So I believe introductions are in order. So of course, I don't know if any of us have met in person besides Anna and myself, but we have you and Lisa. So we have Lisa Desabre on the line, who I'm not going to ask to speak because I want her to save her voice. We also have Stuart Small and of course Grant Green on the line. And hold on just a moment.
Oh, Gil. Are we all on pause?
I don't know. I can hear you.
So, Lisa, are you?
Yes, ma'am.
You guys keep talking. I got a technical issue to address.
Yes, Anna, ask me anything, darling.
Yes. So your husband is okay. He's not traveling.
No, they pretty much. He's an executive. He probably won't care. He's an executive with Costco, and thankfully they have locked them down. There is no traveling by airplanes. There's no traveling by car. You are not staying in hotel rooms. They don't even want them Usually they go in and visit a lot of the different buildings, and they're just telling them, A, to stay out of the buildings, because B, the warehouses are doing a kick-ass job, but they don't want them to feel as though they're being scrutinized, and they also right. don't want them going from building to building and possibly bringing stuff along as they yeah. go. So he's actually he is home. He is working in the corporate office of they've never been able to go remote before, but with this they've done that. So half of my anxiety is now home, working from home. My daughter is. So basically they've kind of got like a, I don't know, a war room, if you want to call it, on the East Coast, where just the executives are in the office. And he may even start working remote himself a couple of days a week. So we're spending a whole lot more time. So that's an adjustment in itself, going from a husband that travels to a husband that's home all the time.
Right. Well, and you know what? But that's the truth, though. It's like, if you think about it, you know, like for myself, with teaching, I could leave at the, you know, before my kids, you know, like 15 minutes before them to get to my school in time, and then come home shortly after their dismissal, and we'd have a couple of hours, and Ian would come home, you know, 6:30 or so, and dinner and hockey and, you know, podcasts and whatever, and we were on this sort of, you know, you kind of get on that schedule, and then things shifted, and now it's like, oh, hey, our house feels really small. Like, we're all like, hey, there you are again. And we're all trying to, you know, keep up with, you know, as much structure as we can. But I think it's going to be a huge adjustment for a lot of people out there. And then I think about anybody that lives by themselves that don't have, you know, a close, you know, somebody that they can talk to, just a neighbor or something like that. I get worried and concerned about those people, you know, because that's a lot of alone time, and not, it's not always a good thing.
Well, I mean, for me, so, yeah. I do have a lot of alone time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I actually live alone, so.
Yeah. But are you finding it any different than every other, because I mean, even just like living alone, but like if you say go out of, I don't know if you're in a condo, an apartment or a house or whatever, you go out, you see people, they're walking the streets, they're doing this, they're doing that. And it seems like all that kind of traffic is kind of, you know, died down a little bit. And it seems like more and more people, I want to see more and more people staying inside, but there are still people outside. But if you're seeing it, like, have you felt a difference at all, Stuart?
What, Eric?
What's that?
I'm sorry. I thought I heard you call me Eric. Anyway,
no, Stuart.
After all you two have been through,
right? My God, no, Eric's my brother's name, so no.
Oh boy. I guess I should be glad it didn't happen in the throes of passion. Ugh. Anyway.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is what happens when you don't have hockey.
a lot of things to say, apparently.
Oh boy!
But no, I do want to know, Stuart, if do you feel differently if you're living, like you said, if you're living by yourself, and then all of a sudden this happens, and you have a mandatory, you know, quarantine kind of thing, does it change anything that goes on with your daily life, or are you not really feeling any different?
Well, you know, it's funny. I can't get out to my church. However, my church is having online presentations where you can worship online during our normal church service hours. So we have that. That keeps me busy. And also, I telework twice a week, so it's just, like when the metro was shut down, it was just a matter of teleworking every day. Now, the number of people I see outside my window, I see more and more children walking around, which is something I didn't see during the day, obviously. And I see other people. But the big thing that has affected me is that I just started seeing someone recently, and, you know, we like each other and we get along. Now we can't see each other.
We like each other from a social distance.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we talk every day. You know, we text every day. We video chat and all that. But it's like, I just started dating someone. I mean, my love life could be a disaster film. So now that I finally meet someone.
But you know what? It could turn out to be an absolutely awesome story in the end where you're like, I met this amazing person and we completely clicked and everything was awesome. And then we had this, you know, pandemic where we had to be separated. But then you find out, you know, things about each other or what they're going to do or what they're reading, what they're, you know, all that kind of stuff. So maybe it'll be a good story in the end.
We'll
and
see.
I want to come to your wedding.
You can bring Tom as your date.
Oh my God. Time will see. My ovaries exploded once already with the puppy. Don't push
that.
Oh,
for heaven's
Lord.
Sake. Can we stop with the ovary talk? This isn't the Lifetime channel, okay? Gosh.
It could be, though. It could be.
And I, Stuart, I know you belong to a church, so I wouldn't dream of asking to be the officiant. So I know, you know, that's kind of a side thing that I do. So I won't horn in on that.
No,
assuming things
be officiating
get
my wedding, that's for sure.
Kill wants to DJ.
But I'm definitely rooting for you as well.
Oh, Thanks. Yeah. I think that's awesome. And you haven't said anything before, so yay. I am so excited for you. That's really, it's like we all need to hear some good news. I think that's awesome. And I want to know, I am truly, truly happy for you. And that's like when I sent you that Instagram message about working out because you put your pictures on there. I was like, you know what? I need to get my, this ass needs to get going. Like, there's really no reason. I'm stuck at home. And so I found a fantastic workout that's like 21 day toned body, whatever. I'm like, just get me through the 21 days. I don't need to talk about what kind of body I'm going to have afterwards, but I'm like, you know, I'm going to do this in the way the quarantine's going. I'm like, I'm going to be on like 68 days of the same workout by the time, you know, just keep repeating it. But it's good little motivation to kind of, you know, keep everybody sane, I guess.
Well, speaking of working out, I just want to say something here publicly to Stuart, and I admire your conviction as far as that goes, as you know, improving your overall health and doing the workouts and then posting and then letting us know, because for the longest time, my idea of working out is getting up from my office chair all of 12 feet to answer the door to pick up DoorDash. So that's pretty much been
my workout was taking the fork and going fork to the plate, fork to the mouth, breathe out as you're chewing.
and this is why we spend all our time cheering for a team full of athletes, because they can do it and we can't.
Exactly.
But Grant, you've been quiet, and so I want to open up the conversation back to you because I'm curious about this, your postings about I've read through them, but I need a little context. You were in a hotel for a while. What happened?
Yeah, well, basically I was up north in Inverness, because I stay in kind of the central part of Scotland. For any of your listeners out there, if you ever look at the map of Scotland and you see the place that kind of looks like a dog, like a Scotty dog, that's called Fife. That's where I stay. That's the the place you really recognise straight off the bat. So yeah, so I was working right up the top of Scotland. I've been working up there on and off since the start of the year, helping out with staffing issues up there. So every time I go up there, I get put up in a hotel, a very nice hotel, paid by the company. So yeah, so that's been my story for the last wee while. But on Friday, we got a message off our CEO telling us that I work for a betting company called William Hill. some of you have probably heard of it through Capital One because they sponsor the Caps now. And basically, as of 5 o'clock, our Prime Minister told us that betting shops were to close down for the foreseeable future to stop social gathering and to implement social distancing. And then 2 hours later, our CEO told us to do an emergency shutdown, and I was ordered back down the road. So that's been my story this week, and now I'm on currently 80% wages paid by the UK government, and
right,
the other 20%
right.
are getting made up, and the other 20% are getting made up by my employer. So, you know, it's a bit of
wow.
a paid leave for me.
And what will you do? Just curious, like, what do you do to pass the time?
Well, I saw my parents today, fair, because it's here in the UK, it's Mother's Day, so I happened to see my mum, so I spent some time with her, see my dad, see my uncle. Just kind of normal stuff, really, that you don't get the chance to do while you're constantly doing 60, 70-hour weeks. So it's, I'm trying not to do too much at once, if you get what I mean. Like, there's a few TV shows that I can catch up on, but I'm not just total blitzing through them. I'm kind of spreading them out. I've got a place to tidy up as well. So, you know, I'll be kept busy for the foreseeable future anyway.
Now, is Scotland doing the same quote unquote like social distancing that the US is doing?
Yeah,
like
we are
closing down pubs.
Yeah, all the pubs and everything, they were shut from Friday night onwards. But there's been a few that have tried to stay open, but the government's warned them, if you stay open, you will get fined and we will take your license off you after all this is
wow.
finished. So it's very much, yeah, you're going to shut.
Yeah, I mean, that's
McDonald's, McDonald's announced
wow.
tonight that from 7 o'clock tomorrow, they will be closed.
Oh, wow.
So that's right across
change.
The UK.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's like in
wow.
the US. I don't know if they've announced that yet, but they're shutting it tomorrow from 7 o'clock.
I think we're going to start to feel the heat tomorrow. Tomorrow, our governor of Virginia is going to make an announcement about school and whether or not the teachers and the students can come back or if we're done for the school year. And then I believe a lot of the restaurants and things like that are going to be mandatory to close, but you could have like curbside, no contact delivery kind
yeah.
of thing. For people, but I don't know. I still see, sometimes when I go into the, like I went into the store yesterday because I had to, and, you know, respectful to the people who were shopping next to me. We all had a good little distance. And then I see other people in other stores, and they're all crammed together pretending like this is really no big deal. And let's all go see the cherry blossoms in D.C. And we're all like, you know, 2 inches away from each other. So
Our schools shut down on Friday as well. And they've kind of, I don't know how your exam system works in the US, but here in the UK, all of our exams are kind of held start of May, and they kind of run right through May. Pretty much, it's a whole month of exams. And these are the exams that determine whether you go to university, college,
okay.
or whatever. So it's kind of, but this year they are now postponing all the exams. So no one
oh.
will be sitting the exams. So I think they're just going to kind of create this year as null and void, if you get what I mean, and do it next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's what's going to happen. And it's a bit of a shame because, I mean, like, we've all been there, we've all been in that situation. And in the UK education system, you can put like maybe 25% of your overall grades are throughout coursework throughout like your academic year. So
okay.
I don't know how the kids are gonna get by with that one. But you know, it's kinda a shame because it's like in theory it's kinda putting their lives behind a year.
Yeah.
So I mean like at the end of the day, as long as they come out with their lives, you know, it's a small mercy to be given. But you know, it is what it is. But the majority of people here are kind of doing okay. I mean, in Scotland, we've not got such a big population as England. There's more people stay in London than stay in the whole of Scotland. So, you know, it's we've kind of got a good social distancing already. I've noticed the roads have been quieter and stuff. So I've been keeping an eye on a few elderly neighbours that stay around me, just messaging them on Facebook, making sure if they need anything from the store or that. But they're all good now. You know, everybody's kind of hunkered down. It'll be the coming weeks that'll be the testing point.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that, only because I spoke to a woman that I've become really close with at my job because of the students that we deal with, and she is our social worker. So we're having a little bit more contact with certain students and their issues than I would say other students. And she was saying that, you know, we just don't, you know, we've only been doing this for a week, you know, truly, like, everyone's like, hey, everything's great. And they had originally said all schools would be closed until, I believe it was March 27th. And then it was then April 27th. And then tomorrow we'll hear, you know, another time frame. Hopefully it'll open up, and but we don't know. But it's like, you know, we all got through this first week, but these next couple weeks, are really going to change, you know, it's really going to weigh heavily on people. And so I appreciate you reaching out to your neighbors, because there's, you know, and continue to do that, because, you know, the first week everyone's like, oh, we're all friendly and wanting to help out.
Yeah.
And then then you get like hunkered down and become hermits, and we're like completely antisocial for a couple weeks. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting little social experiment, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It's it's kind of like it's just kind of like the nuclear bombs went off. Everybody's in their shelter, and it's like, yeah, we've got a good 1 year supply of food, and then you gain the, like, halfway through it, you're like, oh shit, we've had it all.
Me, I was like, ate all my snacks and drank pretty much all of my beers and whatnot. I'm like, hey, now it's only been 3 days.
I stay on my own, and I've stayed on my own for coming up for 7 years, but it's going to be interesting, because like whenever I've had time off work, I've always been traveling throughout Europe or coming to America, and this time it's just I'm going to be sitting on my arse doing nothing. I'll maybe go out for a few walks. I mean, like, I've got plenty of entertainment and stuff. But the people that I more worry, kind of feel for, is people who are going to be living with each other, if you get what I mean. Like, and that's all they're going to see. It's going to be cabin fever. People are going to start hating each other, and fights will start. And that's the kind of people I start to worry about, is kind of like, what effect is that going to have on their own mental health? Because, you know, some people in Italy have been reporting that after this, they're going to be getting divorces from their partners.
Oh, right.
Because they just can't stand them.
Right.
You
are all stuck in a however many square feet and 24 hours a day, and things get a little bit amplified on annoyances. Absolutely. And it's just, you know, it's a matter of just, and here, you know, in our household, it's like, hey, listen, you're kind of getting on my nerves, so I'm going to go downstairs, you know, and just, you know, let me watch Bravo or whatever.
Lifetime channel.
Like, you know what? I actually don't watch Lifetime. I'm either watching like serial killers and documentaries, or I'm watching like Bravo. Since there's no
hockey, I mean, like, can you just imagine how bored everybody would be if this shit was like on during like the 90s or the early 2000s, where there wasn't so much on demand.
Right.
It's kind of like you would have watched that video, that same videotape, about 100 times by now.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell my kids, and they're like, I'm bored, you know, there's nothing on YouTube, and they're like listing off all these things, and I thought, are you freaking kidding me? If I was your age in, you know, the 80s, we had no internet. We had barely, you know, channels where you had to get up to the television and change the channel and things like that, where they're just like, oh, good God, that sounds awful. I'm like, right,
oh,
go to your room and leave you.
So, back in my day, we didn't have a remote control. That's right.
We didn't. But we did.
Well, Seriously, though, yesterday, I have a bit of a horror story, if you can call it that. Yesterday, my first hour and a half of my shift, and for those who don't know, I telework or have been for several years now, doing IT support for a major local financial company. I know I will not give them a plug here.
See, just to let the listeners know, I have asked several times because I want to call in, and Gil won't give me the information.
No.
But
seriously though, I was scheduled to start at 8 a.m. and I remoted in, did my login, did my checks and all that. I was fine for a little bit, and then all of a sudden everything just went dead, and I had to reset my modem about 3 or 4 times, and I had to wait for that. And in my waiting for that, I actually did something that I have not done since my days in college, which is very many years ago, and that is sit and read a paperback book cover to cover.
Oh, hang
on. Damn.
I was hoping for something a little more exciting.
But no,
I mean,
if you want to do that,
there's no need to kill your internet if you want to read a paperback book.
What wasn't my intention, but I was literally out of options at that point, I'm of the mind where I have to keep my mind off my problem, or I will somehow find a way to make it worse. So I had to distract myself somehow while I was waiting for my internet issue to kind of self-resolve. And so that's what I did. I dug into my dad's old library full of paperback novels that he collected over his lifetime. And I grabbed the first one I saw and just read it.
What was it?
It was an adaptation of a movie made in the 70s. You want to talk about irony. I don't know why this caught my eye, but the movie was called Hey Good Buddy, I think, or something like that. It was about a small town and how they communicate on CB radios, of all things. So I don't know if it was my subconscious trying to tell me something or if it just caught my eye or what, but that's what the book was about, and I've managed to finish it in the hour and a half I waited for my internet to come back, and that's what I did. And I think more than a few of us are going to end up reaching the end of the internet and you know, diving into some books we haven't read in a while. I think that's not a bad thing though. Yeah.
I've got a total sneaky feeling here. You were reading it. You were about maybe into the second or third chapter. You seen those green lights come back on your modem, and you were like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to keep reading.
I need to know what happened.
Could be. Maybe not. I'll keep that to myself.
But I think that what I've kind of learned from, like I said, I've been in quarantine, if you want to call it that, for 10 days. Excuse me. And I think we're learning to kind of not to go back to my capital talky talk, but kind of going back to basics. And I'm okay with it. I am absolutely okay with the fact that I am reading so much more, like cooking so much more, and, going outside and appreciate just being outside. And part of me just has to look at this whole, pandemic that we're all going through. That this is the wake up call that we all needed to just say, hey, listen, you know what? We're also involved in social media and looks and filters and this and living vicariously. But let's just go back to how things are supposed to be. And sort of appreciate, family and things that are the simple things. And that's how I'm just going to have to look at this from now on, because I've read 8 books since I've been stuck inside. Not that they are really anything to recommend, because they're totally not appropriate, some of them. But I did add some new books on, and I'm looking forward to reading them. So if anyone has read The Kurdish Bike, I would love to know. I would love to have a FaceTime or whatever chat about it, because I am completely I'm just intrigued by everything about this story. And it sounds kind of depressing, but it just sounds also very awesome. So The Kurdish Bike, if anyone's read it, please reach out to me.
What's it about?
Have you read it, Stuart?
No, I have not.
Oh, I was like, oh wait. Basically, it's a woman who. This is what it says. In 2010, a woman responds to an online ad for courageous teachers to help rebuild a worn, torn country, and she winds up. Yeah, and it says, landing in repressive school for Kurd elites. She yearns to experience the real Kurdistan, buys a bicycle, and explores the nearby villages and countryside. And it's a true story, and it's her experiences, and they compared it to The Kite Runner, which was absolutely one of my favorite books ever. People out there know, like I've said before, super smart ass. I love to drink wine and whatnot and sports lover, but I'm a super avid reader. And so this to me just kind of caught my attention. So I think it's going to be something that I'm really, really going to be into. So if anybody's ever read it or anybody wants to read it at the same time, I'll do a little book club with them. I'm excited. Yeah, that's it.
I might want to check that out myself for the historical aspect of it. Not to bore anybody, but once upon a time in another life, I was a history teacher. So, yeah.
Awesome.
And
that's what I think, we're all going to kind of find things that, you're stuck inside. And it's like, okay, are we drawn to books? Are we drawn to art? Are we drawn to learning how to knit? Or are we, what is it working out? Whatever it is, and that's why we wanted to do the show tonight, to see what people were doing to pass the time. And if anyone's like, hey, listen, I totally want to read that book and let's connect, fantastic, because, the more people we can connect with to keep things sort of sane during these next, 8 to 10 weeks, is a good thing.
This is everybody's anticipation of how long this is going to last for. I mean, my dad, he was talking about the football season of my country. Now, for everybody listening, when I say football, I mean soccer. So they were talking about bringing back the start of the football season in May and playing it behind closed doors. And I'm like, really? I says, where did you see that about? And he says, oh, I saw it online. And I was like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, you're just like,
my dad really is. I love him to bits, but he is one of the most gullible people that will believe anything he sees on the internet. And I mean, like, I don't buy newspapers. I just think they're a waste of money. And a lot of the older generation have been kind of brainwashed by them. Whatever they read, it's true. And it's kind of like anything he sees in the paper, he'll come to me and say it. And I'm like, where did you see it? Oh, I've seen it in the local tabloids. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard enough.
The tabloids. Well, yeah. Actually, I would love to put a question out to everybody. And I'm hoping Lisa's still on the line and we didn't lose her. I do want to talk about capitals after this, but I do want to know, what are your guys' thoughts on the 2020 Olympics?
Anna, I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off. Let me just make a quick detour, and then we can talk Olympics. I apologize for hijacking everything, but you were talking about how you've run out of things to watch on TV and run out of things to see on the internet.
Yeah.
All day today, and they're still in the middle of it, NBC Sports Washington has been replaying the entire Columbus Blue Jackets series that we had with them. Of course, they're picking up at Game 3. They're in the middle of Game 5 right now going into overtime, and then game 6 is going to be played after that. Just thought I'd let you know.
I've actually got that on in the background.
Yep.
Okay, so do I.
In case I couldn't think of anything to say, I was looking for some inspiration. Yeah, I feel bad for saying, for admitting that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's
hey, look, I can top that. Not only do I have that game on, but I'm also listening to a retro edition of America's Top 40 with Casey Kasem as well.
Okay, now.
They play it every Sunday night. I'll just say the station, Jack 102.7. They're based in Baltimore. And every Sunday night at 7, they do a replay of his countdown. They rebroadcast the entire thing, and they pick a different year from the 80s. And this year, it's 1984.
Nice.
This week in 1984.
Is 1984 Eddie Grant Electric Avenue? Or is that 1985?
Yes, it is.
That's close. Because
no,
the
83.
Hit...
83.
That's right. Eddie Grant was 83 because 84, Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun was at number 2.
That
Hang
was
on,
the
they're
song
doing
that
a, they're doing a recap.
Head.
Hold on.
Oh,
Jump was number 1.
Oh, hit Van Halen.
Yes.
You can't go wrong with the spandex and David Lee Roth.
Don't tell Tommy that.
I know.
Right now we have with the recap of the Columbus Washington game. It's currently 3-3 and it's tied at 2-2 overall.
No, it's tied at
2-2. Awesome that you have it.
Yeah,
3-3 in overtime. Ooh, clip saved by Holtby. Now Backstrom gets out of his own zone. It's picked up at center ice by Bergeron. He sends it back into the capital zone. Holtby stops it and gives it off to Niskanen. He brings it out to the blue line. Now he's forced back into his own zone by Kozlov. He'll pass it off to Carlson, who gets it up ice into the Blue Jackets zone. But the Blue Jackets quickly bring it out. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, John Walton better hope he's still got a job after that, anyway. That's why.
I'll tell you something. I originally wanted to do that when I went to college. I wanted to be an on-air sportscaster, and I did work in sports for a little bit and even did on-air sports, so this is still in my blood. I could call a game for you.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
what
I,
are
I
these?
Bit,
I just had an idea. One of these times, we're going to have to do like a watch along.
Yeah.
For like one period.
I'll do play by play, man. I'll do play by play.
And I can do play by play with Tommy and Mike.
Oh, here we go.
Just kidding, kind of.
Oh Lord.
No, you're not. Don't lie, Anna.
Yeah. So
but that would be awesome.
I feel we've deviated from Anna's thing about the 2020 Olympics or the.
Yes, we were going to. Anna was asking about what should be done with the 2020 Olympics.
Well, I think it's the right thing to cancel. Everything else is being canceled.
And I can tell you why. I cut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was finished.
Go ahead,
that was just me seeing. I just think they should be cancelled. Well, not cancelled, but postponed. I mean, like, everything else has been postponed. So, I mean, like, there's also kind of getting back to the football kind of thing here, because they're talking at UEFA, which is the governing body throughout Europe for all, like, European leagues, has spoke about they want all the leagues wrapped up by the end of May. Whether that be a winner's, like, chosen by default or whether leagues are made null and void. But with the bigger leagues, they're actually thinking about mounting legal challenges if the local governing body decides to award the league to who's ever in front now, because there's teams in the football leagues that can either like get promotion or be relegated. So it's kind of going to be interesting. And the teams who can still mathematically catch other teams, like, I don't know if you guys will know, but Liverpool's kind of running away with the Premier League in England. But Manchester City can still mathematically catch them, if you get what I mean. So
Right. Everybody's
kind of like hiring lawyers all of a sudden. So if this does happen, then there's going to be huge legal ramifications that come from this. And it's kind of like any kind of like, you move your eyes back towards the US with NHL, and it's like, oh, what's going to happen here, you know?
Right.
Mainly because I'm waiting on, mainly because I'm waiting on $500 if the Caps win the Metro, so. You know, they can go ahead and award the Caps the Metro division. I'll be happy with that.
But it's that, but when it comes to the 2020 Olympics, my God, like I think about those athletes who have trained for it. This is their dream. This is their everything. And not just from, you know, from the U.S. And say Australia or, you know, any of the, wherever, Canada, where you're all of a sudden, you know, you have, when they're doing the parade and, or the announcement of the countries during the opening ceremonies. But my God, for the smaller countries where you only have like one or two or 10 representatives, I feel for those athletes. Like my heart breaks for them. And so I hope for a delay, but I know that that then kind of shifts everything and people are going to complain about this and that. There's always, there is going to be, you know, the Debbie Downer of the group that's going to complain about something, but I just don't,
yeah,
I hate to see a cancellation.
Yeah.
I want to see a postponement.
Yeah, that did kind of run through my head because, you know, like some athletes, this would have been their last Olympics, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And like, he can only make it through time frames. And it's all, and in sports, it's all about cycles. All the, like, it just goes through years. And it's kind of like that. Some people will be coming to the end of their cycle, some will be in the middle, and some won't even start it yet. But
right.
To whatever stage anybody's at, it's going to put a massive postponement on it. And I do feel sorry for those people who have worked hard, who have made sacrifices, because a lot of those sacrifices come at personal levels with their families as well.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, and I will say...
So I 100% get where you're coming from.
Yeah. I was a competitive swimmer my whole life. And one of the coaches I had growing up, his name was Rich. His dad was a head coach at Berkeley, and Rich was a fantastic swimmer, and he actually made the 1980 Olympic swim team for
a
relay, and I believe for an individual event, but that's when the U.S. boycotted. And so when you talk to somebody, you know, and you think like, holy shit, like you made the Olympic team, but then we boycotted. Oh, you know, like what the effects had on him. Even, you know, he obviously he was fine afterwards, but still, it's got to be a huge void. And I think about that so often. And then I think, you know, here we are thinking of, you know, postponing, but then there's so many athletes out there who can't go to a facility to train. You know, or they can't have contact with their coaches, or some have access to their coaches and a facility, but others don't. And is that fair? You know, all those kind of things to think about. So, and then,
yeah,
of course, with the location and, you know, or is that like, is it in South Korea? Is that correct?
Tokyo.
Right. Sorry. I was like, trying to lay up. It's like, what? But it's like you want to be sure, okay, are we sending athletes to a place that's going to be safe? Is it going to be quarantined? You know, all those kind of things. And then, or do you just cancel it? And it's like, oh, God. You know, four years is a big deal for an athlete.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like what you're saying there about, like, do they send these people to Tokyo? But the thing is, it's just not sending the people to Tokyo. It's the crowds that it gathers as well.
Yeah.
And this is going to be something we all have to think about now.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Going to sporting events, going to any large gatherings, because I mean, like, whenever you see it on TV, like, the one thing they always talk about is the great crowds that have turned out now. It's going to be, are people going to be more hesitant in coming out to crowds, the sporting events, the gigs, you know? It's definitely going to, people are saying the world will never be the same after this. I kind of disagree and don't agree with that. It's kind of like, I think people are going to be a lot more careful now when it comes to this. And I think governments have got to make, lessons have to be learned from this. Like if there's a sniff of this ever again, it has to be shut down immediately. like airports have to be shut down, borders have to be closed, but you know, definitely a big lesson to be learned from it all in every type walk of life.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll toss it back to Stuart and Lisa if she wants to answer it, but just want to throw something out there, and Grant kind of alluded to this with his answer, but that the Olympics is actually going to be, you know, it's scheduled for what, June, July?
It's normally typically July, isn't it? They're normally
You're right. Yes, middle of July. Yep.
Yeah. So I think the IOC may actually take their cue from what the major sports leagues around the world decide to do, and that includes the Premier League, of course, because that's probably going to affect the soccer tournament, because there is an Olympic soccer tournament that's going to affect the availability of players there for sure. But they'll probably be watching the NHL, the NBA, and all the other major leagues around the world to see what they end up deciding to do, because that will give them some idea of, well, geez, if they're doing this, you know, maybe we ought to, you know, make the same precautions, maybe actually consider, you know, not having fans there perhaps, or something like that. I'm not suggesting that, but it is a possibility. So I just want to throw that out there.
They actually said that they're going to probably make a decision by mid-April. But they've said that by no means are they going to cancel it. I know, talking about swimming, Anna, the Swimming Federation has asked that they actually postpone it for a year. There's no way they can have it in July. You know, none of this will be settled by then. And to me, it would be totally remiss of any intelligence if they do this in July and have, I think I just read, like 11,000 athletes from 206 places, you know, coming into this. I mean, you know how cramped all those quarters are. It's just asking for the pandemic to explode again.
Oh, for sure.
I agree.
And also, there's so many variables that we still don't know about this virus. Let's say things get under control. Now you've got a logistical issue. Now you have to have the athletes having to retrain themselves since they can't do it together. You have the issue of some countries will have a better advantage over the other countries. Anna, you made the comment about the countries that are represented by, what, 5 athletes? And they won't have the same playing field of preparation as, say, other countries will. So to me, I think it would be crazy to have the Olympics in 2020 because of all that. But my question is there anything that says they can't be held in an off year? Yes, they're held every 4 years, but because this is a special situation, one we've never dealt with before.
Yeah.
Can you just make the decision, okay, let's move this till next July?
Yeah.
Just as an example.
The only thing that's missing right now from this whole pandemic is a world war.
You don't think it's going to come to that, do you?
No, I don't think it'll come to that, but the way it's being proceeded in my country is that this is kind of like wartime tactics are needing to be used in our country. Like, we've got manufacturers that are now producing medical equipment that would never ever have dreamed of making medical equipment. We've got breweries that are now making, instead of making gin, they're making hand sanitizer. And it's kind of like Ford as well. Like, when they stopped making cars, they started building aircraft. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, this is the only thing that seems to be missing, like, is a world war, because everybody's efforts have all of a sudden changed.
So frightening.
Well, I'm glad it had pardon me, it hasn't come to that, for that kind of effort to be put out. I saw a video earlier today of a British company who dealt mainly with vacuum cleaner parts.
Yeah, G-Tech. Yeah,
and, I watched G-Tech. And converting them into ventilators because all the hospitals were starting to run out.
Yeah, that's right. They've also acquired in England anyway, because in the UK we've got the NHS, which is the National Health Service, which everybody is entitled to care from them, no matter if you've got money or if you've not got money. You turn up, you've got something wrong with you, you'll get fixed. You won't get a bill at the end of it. And I know that's not the case in your country, but there is also private hospitals which you can pay for, like, private medical care and stuff. But now the government has struck a deal with the private hospitals to get those beds, make them available for public use, which is a good thing to see. But I think the government was either going to be like, you know what, we'll strike a deal with you or we'll just commandeer this, because the Spanish government actually went to a factory and took all the face masks and stuff not without paying for them, but, you know, they kind of just commandeered them. They said, right, under Spanish law, this now belongs to the people of Spain. And, like, 15,000 and odd face masks and personal protection equipment was taken away for the fight against the coronavirus. So it's either these companies comply or, you know, we'll just take it.
Well, all for the greater good, I say. Unfortunately, these times, they call for sacrifice.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of getting back to, like, with the war effort. Like, that's what's kind of just starting to seem like in this country. It's like you're playing your part by self-isolating.
Right.
But enough doing going for me. Let's change the subject.
What? So
we're
so
ending on a good note.
Yeah. So to wind things down a bit. What's that?
I said let's end it on a good note. Who wants to be quarantined with me?
Well,
I think there's your answer.
I've got a travel ban in my place, in my country, so what's your excuse, guys?
Oh, there you go.
Mr. Trump won't let me in. You know, I've got a holiday booked to Texas in May, and I don't think I'm going to get to see that. So, you know.
Well, I'm an hour drive away, but.
Yeah. Aw, womp womp. I know, Gail, you wanted to, I know it's going over our normal time frame.
Well,
that's
just a marker though. We've got a little bit of time. Okay. We might as well talk, you know, something about, our favorite team here before we wind it up. But nothing too complicated. So assuming that they decide to, And this is, I'm not saying this ought to be or is going to be, but assuming they decide to end the regular season, just go straight to the playoffs. The Washington Capitals are right now the winners of the Metro Division.
I'll take that.
And that Grant will definitely take that. But so to a person here, yes or no, is that a good thing for their playoff fortunes or a bad thing?
Oh, that's such a hard question because, again, there are so many variables that you have to think about, you know, in terms of preparation, in terms of the players not playing with each other. And this goes for every team. This is uncharted territory. So it's really hard to say because who knows, the team that could have just, and I'm just throwing it out there, 3 wins right now might suddenly become the best team in hockey because they've been away from the rink for so long. So that's really a hard question to answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you look at the Flyers, and it's kind of like they were really on fire before all this. Everybody got put into lockdown. Apart from getting beat by the Bruins, they were on like.
I think it's hilarious that the Flyers are having their best season in 20 years, and now everything stopped.
Yeah, I mean, like for teams like the Flyers, like teams that were really flying high, this is going to be more difficult for them because they're going to want to get back on the ice. And they're going to want to try and pick up from where they left off. Whereas us, the Capitals, a team that's recently been struggling, this could be a good thing for us. We could relax. Well, not relax, but kind of just chill out, recharge our batteries, get some sort of training camp in place, whether that be 1 or 2 weeks, God only knows. and then go from there. I mean, are the Capitals going to come out like the greyhound out of the trap and get running right around that course like we were at the start, or are we going to kind of just go where we left off, Carlson playing the forward and, you know, just crazy stuff. But, you know, time will tell. And it just all depends what format that happens in. So,
Lisa, what do you think?
Well, I'll
say my piece, but Lisa, what do you think? Caps winning the Metro, good or bad for the playoffs?
You know what, though? Do we really think it's going to happen? I know the Board of Governors is supposed to have a meeting tomorrow. And if they're telling us that this whole social distancing is going to be at least 3 months worth, what is that, March, April, May? You've got May. You've got free agency. You know, they talked about team one playing 16 to 15, whatever. But they've also said that no matter what, they are not going to want it to affect next year. And you know what? I'd love to see hockey because I know this is probably the last time I see Holtby in a Washington Capitals jersey. But you know what? I'm willing to give that up if it keeps him, his family, and the rest of the players. Because you know what? There's so many travel restrictions right now. They're not going to be able to get back into the country.
That's a good point. Because I know a few of the Swedes have came back home. Not on our team, but who was it? I think Lidqvist.
Marcus Johansson and his
and
his middle finger. Yeah, they went back to Sweden.
Yeah. Oh, look, the Caps just won the fifth game against the Columbus.
But I do think it was funny when you said, is Carlson going to go back playing forward? Because that's basically what he's been doing. And they've even said he won't win the Norris this year. And I don't think he deserves it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like a tangent discussion to me.
Well, you know
have we
what?
Got time for it?
That's leaving it on a good, because we went back to hockey. And that's the problem.
We'll save that for a future talk. We'll table that.
The biggest thing with the social distancing is when something like this usually happens, at least we have our sports. We have, you know, this, we have that to fall back on. But with now, with everything shut down, there is nothing. And so I think that is why people struggle, because they don't have something to take their mind off of it.
This will be the challenge for everyone, though. And I mean, everybody's in the same boat. But, you know, I understand there is only so much YouTube and Netflix you can watch, but it's what it is.
Well, you know, and that's it. It's going to, and I think all of you in some form or another, especially Anna, you know, mentioned this, but that's kind of why we're doing this, because if we're all going to get through what's happening, get through this pandemic, which, by the way, is certainly taking a physical toll, but it's also taking a mental and spiritual toll as well. We've got to look after each other. There's no denying that. And that's part of the reason why, pardon me, we're doing this. Because, you know, we're not just Caps fans. We're all, you know, citizens of humanity. And, you know, I asked a frivolous question about, you know, the Caps and what would happen. And unfortunately, the pandemic kind of spilled into that. You know, we can't avoid it. But, you know, I'm of the mind that, yeah, we got to deal with reality. But, you know, there's going to be life after this sooner or later. And if we don't have that to look forward to, then what's the point?
Yeah. There's got to be light at the end of the tunnel.
There is, and there will be, I'll be damned if I can envision or will try to envision a life without hockey. I mean, I can give up some things easily, but I'm not going to give up on something. If I have to sacrifice a season, I suppose I can do that, but I'm not going to say this is the end of it all. Not to a sport that I fell in love with when I was all of 2 years old, and you know, a team that I fell in love with a year later, you know.
Right.
So,
and I'll go back to what I said before. Is it frustrating? Is it as annoying as fuck? Of course it is. Is it inconvenient? Absolutely. But in the end, it's, I think, what we are all going to come out as humans and sports lovers and whatnot, is to just appreciate those little things in life. And I think that this is, we have this test, and it's been given to us from whomever, Mother Nature, government, however you want to look at it. But it is truly going to be a test. We have things that we are so used to having on a daily basis that we take advantage of that are taken away. And it's like, okay, so what are you going to do about it? How are you going to solve, you know, teachers don't get paid enough, and I'm going to complain about my student, you know, my child's teacher. But then, you know what, if I take that away and I have the child at home, I may start to appreciate the teacher position. Just one example. All those other things, like what people out there are talking about, nurses and you know, health workers, it's like, yes, we are appreciating that much more because we took advantage of that. But there's, you know, the people who are collecting their trash, the people who are working retail, the people who are working the restaurants for everyone to still have curbside delivery. You know, so it's like, it's those kind of things where I think we're just truly, as a generation or however you want to look at it, we're just being tested on taking a step back for all the things that we do have and being quite spoiled and being like, hey, listen, if I took this all away, what are you going to do about it? So, and I think people talk is going to get us back to talking. If we have to write letters, if we have to, you know, like Stuart, you mentioned you have, you know, in a relationship, it's like, well, what are you going to do to make that person feel special? Go back to the basics. You're going to, you know, write the love letters, or you're going to do something, you know, those kind of things. And it's not going to be via text, say, to be a little bit more personal, or to take it back to people being more human with each other, hopefully.
Yeah. I think this has been kind of good for me tonight as well, like speaking to you guys and obviously everybody that's going to be listening to the podcast. You know, it's kind of good to like chat, and you know, it's like it kind of gives me an idea. It's like, you know, that I open up my iPad and we get on FaceTime and start having like FaceTime parties, you know, like get FaceTime on the go, get a bottle of whiskey, just chat shit, and everybody's with each other, you know. We're all, and that kind of sometimes will help people's mental health as well. I mean, like, I stay on my own, but, like, I'm always constantly talking to friends on the other side of the pond, or rather it'd be this side of the pond, just chatting shit, work colleagues and stuff. So this is kind of how I'm going to get through it as well.
I'm really glad, Grant, that you said that, because I was going to say, if you can find the means and the way and the time, I, for one, do not want you to shut down your podcast.
I was so gutted last week fucking when I scrubbed it, because me and the guy that we'd done it with, Robert Nevitt, we just had so much shit about hockey, and I fucking scrubbed a lot of it. I like saved the 2 minutes that I wanted to edit out, but I was so disheartened after that. I was like, oh,
and it's I've been there a few times myself. You just gotta kind of chuck it away and chalk it up to a learning experience and just keep going. But please, whatever you do, and that applies to all of us here. Don't shut down. Find a way to keep on putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Find a way to make your voice heard, because that's how everybody's going to make their mark. That's how everybody's going to survive this and not go crazy, by being mm-hmm. heard. And so with that, I just want to thank each and every one of you right now. We're getting on to about an hour and a half. And that's usually when things start to get choppy as far as certain things, but thank you all for doing this, for taking time. Grant, I know it's late over there. Stuart,
I'm up for the next year.
I know you are. Stuart, thanks so much for coming on. Lisa, I honestly didn't expect you to come on. I know you've had a few health issues to deal with, but I'm super glad that you came on. I'm just happily surprised you did come on, because you know how we feel about you here.
It's been fun, because basically I'm pretty much quarantined because of my health right now. So,
and you know, and all of this goes for all of you, of course, but we're one family. We're a Caps family. And yep. that hashtag isn't just a hashtag. It actually means something. So thank you. Thank each and every one of you for coming on, and we'll do this again. I don't know. I don't think it'll be next week. Might be a few weeks from now, maybe even a month. We've got, as has been said, at least 8 more weeks of this thing, probably more, of no hockey. So we'll definitely get together later on down the road. I'm sure of it.
Sounds good.
Everybody stay healthy and stay sane.
Yeah. Amen.
You too. And Lisa, we'll be talking soon.
Almost deaf.
So thanks very much for all of you, lady and gentlemen. Do have yourselves a good night, and yes, do stay safe. Do whatever you can to stay healthy and not have this thing bring you down too much. Thank you all so much.
If anybody wants FaceTime parties,
thank you.
I'm here with a bottle of whiskey.
There you go. I'm in.
Happy days. Right, you guys all stay safe, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Grant.
Thanks, Grant. Thanks, Stuart. Thanks, Lisa.
Hey, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
Stuart, good night.
Take care.
You too. Have a good night.
And then there were two.
And then there were two, which is not the number two, of course, but the two of us.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was,
and out of respect for you, Anna, and partially because my pipes have kind of rusted out because of overwork for one.
Oh yeah.
I will not sing just the two of us.
But you know what? In come
how
like
about that?
Said,
I got a laugh out of her.
We won't do.
You're worse than
you know,
Mrs. Blue Liner.
Living together, good God. Just kidding. I'm a pain in the ass to live with. I'm sure Ian would be like, good Lord, find a cure. But no, like in two weeks, I'm sure we'll all have a whole other mindset and whatever else, and you can sing your little heart out then.
We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, so for you out there in the District of Columbia, state of Maryland, and of course the Commonwealth of Virginia, and around the world, of course, as we had one of our international listeners on, Mr. Grant Green, that being, I hope you out there, you the Caps fan, or if you're even just a hockey fan, got something out of this. All we're trying to prove here is that in some form, life will go on, and where life is, there will be hockey, because it's the greatest sport on earth. And that will include in some form, a team we all love. And this is not the end. I'm not even thinking of that. And the Capitals will be part of that future somehow, some way.
I agree. So. It's just a delay. That's how I'm looking at it. It's a delay.
Just a delay. Just a change of plans for the time being. Nothing permanent. It just seems that way. And you know, I could throw every cliche out in the book out there, but you all know what I'm talking about. So, all right. So thank you all very much for indulging us for listening. Anna, thank you. For I got to give credit where credit's due. You pretty much came up with this idea, so.
No, and you went with it. So mutual appreciation for each other as usual. And I think it was awesome. And I think our callers I love more than anything, and listeners, same, you know, and hopefully next time we'll get more people to call in. If not, I'm okay with the ones that did call in.
I was very pleasantly surprised with the turnout, and yeah. I do hope more Caps fans, and you know, whether they be listeners of the show or first timers or whoever, you out there, join us. You know, you're part of our family. You're part of the Caps fan family, and that's, we need to hear you. We need to know you're alive and doing well, and that we're all survived this thing. That's
absolutely
certainly not a bad thing. We need to hear your voices. That's why we're doing this. Okay, so obviously no previews of coming attractions since there's no games. So we'll just end it here. So on behalf of the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you.
Have a good time.
That a young little boy asked his father what a solar eclipse was. All he could do was look up at the sky and say, "No, son."
Nope.
That one was bad.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.